interesting, this concept of the shadow. First it was either Freudian or Jungian concept.
Because Jungian.
Yeah. And, I mean, obviously that's probably just lined up with the Achilleses. It's just interesting the various approaches both within the suttas and then from different teachers on how to relate to the Achilleses.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, just these different ways of looking at it.
Yeah.
In terms of, especially in terms of wanting not to be those things.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously it's there has to be as soon as it's put in the context of impermanent, unsatisfactory non-self, then that sense of, because, you know, obviously all the teachers are saying, yeah, you shouldn't be greedy, angry, deluded. I mean, that's not very helpful. But the context is one of, rather than it being Weibo and Tanha, which is pushing away or trying to annihilate or setting up a negative sense of self, there's a recognition of the inconstant nature, the instability of it, and the it being fraught with suffering. So then there's a motivation to relinquish and release. But also, I think in terms of looking at it as you're sort of saying, your shadow, recognizing how a somewhat noble aspiration can have the source of dukkha within it, in the sense of I shouldn't be angry or I shouldn't be grief, but then its shadow is the sense of self that gets into that, or the sense, I should be a good meditator, I should be a virtuous being. But then the shadow is the becoming energy and the identification. So it has its own kind of I think what Meiji Gao does said quite nicely, and it's a theme that goes through all pretty much all teachers in saying that. Whatever a defilement there is, it can be transformed. It can be the seed for. So rather than it being a shadow, it's like the fertilizer that actually something good really can come out of that. Yeah.